so excited to be here on Under All Is the Land.
Well, it is an exciting place to be. Yes. So let's start at the very beginning. How long have you been licensed?
Under all is the land, real estate. Courtney, your friends about to show you how to generate wealth. Get educated, do for yourself. Add a couple notches to your belt. Under all is the land. Under all is the land. The real estate. Under all is the land. Under all is the land. The real estate. Coming to you live from Acme Real Estate in Los Angeles, California.
Welcome to Under All Is the Land, episode 108. Today, we are going to talk about breaking in and breaking up with your brokerage. I'm your host, Courtney Polis, here with my rock star co-stars, Silke Fernal.
Hello.
And Dominique Madden.
Hi.
Let's get right on into it then, shall we? I just wanted to quickly start with a personal story of my very own. I started at a very big brokerage, and I didn't know what the other options were. I didn't even consider an alternate option. You know, you hear big names and you just go. And there were a few things that I felt like uncomfortable with as I went along in my career. I was like, wait, they're pressuring me to like buy certain services or use certain title companies or use certain escrow people that aren't necessarily who I would prefer, and I don't like that, and I like didn't like the sales trophy aspect, and I didn't like the sales pressure that the manager was always sharing with us that they were getting from corporate. So I like bounced around I tried another big brokerage. That was the most painful commission split negotiation of my entire career. Where I was like, how do you expect, it was like micro points, like, well, earned, you know, this much, so you're entitled to 62.5 or something. I'm like, really? I guess the thing that overall, I just kept feeling like I wasn't seen. Mm-hmm. And so when I came to LA, I was like, I'm going boutique. I mean, my last firm in DC was boutique and I loved it. This one, I was like, I'm going boutique. And so I joined a bigger boutique brokerage. And I walked in like having 5 years of experience and I felt so confident and I looked fierce and I was like, okay, you're gonna see, like I'm amazing. And I sat down with the broker and I was like, so, you know, do you have other agents who are maybe looking for more experienced non-newbie help, you know, that you could put me with or you think I should meet that are at the firm? Or, you know, what's your most innovative marketing suggestion for me? And he said, well, you could send postcards to the neighborhood north of Los Feliz Boulevard. I was like, that's
like everybody else?
Like everybody else. There was nothing there. Mm-hmm. And I immediately felt very unseen. I felt like nobody actually, I was just like a number. And I felt like even though I chose a boutique, I had walked in feeling so confident and so, and had a track record, which a lot of people who interview don't. Mm-hmm. I had like a proven track record. I think at that time I was selling about $30 million a year. And I felt like I couldn't believe that I was, you know, that they didn't see the rock star in me. I'll wrap up a second half of that story later, but yeah, what do you think? I mean, you were at a bigger brokerage before you came here.
I started at a bigger place as well, and it wasn't my thing at all.
What about it?
Also, I've never in my life have I ever done a 9-to-5 job. So that was, and it has that vibe. When you go into a bigger place, there's cubicles, and if you're lucky, you can maybe rent one of the offices that are along the sides that have a door. So
right.
It all felt very just
corporate, kind of.
Foreign, strange, weird. Like, that's not me. I've always done all kinds of things, but I've never, you know, been in that environment, and I didn't like it. I was also brand new. I felt alone. I felt sort of, you know, people size you up, like, what's her story? Everybody sees you sort of like as a competition, and then they have these, you know, people have whatever, that this particular brokerage had mandatory office meetings where you get like a crown when you sell a certain amount of money in real estate and get to a certain amount of commission. And it was just all, it was weird.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt lost.
Right.
And And then I didn't like the environment either. So yeah, thank God I found you. Yeah, I mean, it's a difference. And I'm sure there's people who really like this.
That's what I was going to say.
Everybody finds their hat,
who,
right?
Who really respond well to that kind of stimulation where mm-hmm. they're like, I want to be the best in my office, or I want the trophy. Like at that first brokerage that I worked at, that sales trophy was in our office every single week. It was there. Like Polly, who trained me, she was always the top producer, so we always got the trophy. She did not care about that trophy at all.
Weekly trophy ceremony?
The sales meeting. Right. If you were the top producer that week, you got a trophy. The trophy lived in your office for the week.
Oh, so it was one shared trophy.
It was a shared trophy that for the office.
Well, it doesn't even have your name.
Doesn't have your
name.
That's
even worse. Come on now. Oh my God. That's lazy.
She did not care. I mean, it's just an old school way of motivating people.
I can't even put it on my freaking shelf. Come on.
Let me take that trophy and put it in my office.
To me, it's just also like a more masculine leadership style. It's like the old school corporate business model where people are motivated by domination as opposed to collaboration, which mm-hmm. I feel like is what we have at Acme. But some mm-hmm. people are still motivated by domination. So I'm mm-hmm. not saying big brokerages don't work for some people. In fact, when people interview here sometimes, I'm like, you are definitely suited more toward a big brokerage because, you know, it just seems like what you need in order to do what you want to do probably isn't something that's going to work in this environment.
Yeah,
my instincts
I mean,
are pretty right.
I think that sometimes people also like to fly under the radar, which is tougher to do when you're at a boutique because you've got, you know, you've got people more closely working with you to get you productive, you know, and I think sometimes, you know, like a bigger brokerage might be more suited for someone who doesn't want to be full time or, you know, who's just like, you know, kind of wants to do their own thing, you know, but for people who really want the engagement, like the close relationships with their brokers and their, you know, their coworkers, I think a boutique is such a good, you know, a good space for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really feel like there is partnership, like with the agents, sometimes like Emily will text me a video concept and we'll work on it via text, a couple like cut this, you know, let's add this music. Let's try that, you know, until we get a finished product. And it's like, I know that at a bigger brokerage, the broker's not going to take the time to probably work with you like overnight on like a product, you know?
So, I don't think that they have the creativity necessarily to do that.
And they're hired for
Job. It's a desk job. I'm the broker. I'm the one who signs all the stuff.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
And so try to get anybody on the phone after hours. That's not happening either.
Exactly. And I actually had an agent from Big Bear area call me and said she was changing brokerages because she tried to reach the broker on the weekend. He said, I don't work weekends. And I'm
there you go.
I can't even imagine what that feels like. Sounds like a dream, but I'm just kidding. But I do think that like when you're vested as the broker owner in the success of your agents, like their success is your success, it changes the way you are available to people. And your vision of partnership changes and that accountability is definitely there. Like I feel accountable. Like we're the platform and people can jump using the tools that we have.
But it's also you. It's yours. You've created this thing. It's almost like your baby, and you want to make sure it grows, and you want to nourish it. And when you look at bigger brokerages, for example, there is a corporate umbrella, and it's all there, just all little offices, and nobody really is invested.
Right.
They're like, it's a numbers game. The more agents, the more money, the more desk fees, the more whatever they pay. You don't even have to produce. It's like that's the model, right?
And
I don't care.
You know, some brokerages charge you money to join. Mm-hmm. So they get your money up front, whether you do a deal or not, or you have these big E&O checks at the beginning, or they'll be like, we're going to, you know, train you, but you have to pay for it. Which, you know, we flirted with before too, because I feel like the training is so valuable. But at the end of the day, there are some models where quantity is the way that the brokerage makes money. And there are some models where quality is the way the brokerage makes money. And I feel like at Acme, a lot of it is like talent development. Mm-hmm. And that's how I see it. It's like people come as rookies really and have no true point of view. And in this environment, it's collaborative. So you find your place and you hold yourself to a higher accountability. The other thing is that at some brokerages, you know, there's mandatory desk time, or you have to use their marketing. You don't have any flexibility. And we have a obviously a marketing like point of view that people do have to subscribe to. But within that point of view, you're pretty free to move and invent, you know?
It's very creative.
It's a creative space. Mm-hmm. We're like a creative marketing firm in so many ways. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I will say this. I feel like I was very humble in my interview process whenever I would interview for a new brokerage. And I feel like as we've done interviews, that quality definitely isn't there anymore. I feel like a lot of people these days think they get their real estate license and then they come to the interview and they're like, what can you do for me?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that they watch so much HGTV and, you know, Selling Sunset and Million Dollar Listing that they think they can sell real estate. They think they know the negotiation tactics. In fact, we've even heard master negotiator in the first interview.
Yeah.
It's like, have you ever been in a negotiation to know what that actually looks like?
Right.
You know, in a real estate
in a real estate transaction where you're an agent bound by agency law.
Mm-hmm. Plus, also, do you know how ridiculous it sounds to say to somebody, "I'm a master negotiator"?
That's a terrible
like right
thing
there,
to
that's
say.
A giveaway, right? When you hear that, like,
yep, I agree. Mm-hmm. Because negotiation, just like sales pricing, it's strategic. It's like if you're getting a great deal already at the beginning of the transaction, then you don't negotiate so hard on the request for repairs because you know you're not going to get so much more. Also, you have to, on both sides, have respect for the actual transaction itself. Here's what I hate to hear from people who come in. Yeah, I do work on my own, and you know, I always write a high offer in order with the listing agent in order to get it in escrow, and then once we're in escrow, I ask for like $100,000 off in the request for repairs. I'm like, A, do not admit that to me in an interview. And B, that is the worst negotiation tactic I've ever heard of.
It's not working anymore.
It's not good.
Yeah.
It lacks integrity. But not just that. It's like people, I just find that like there's this, even with people who are newly licensed, I have a problem with it. I don't love being the first point in the interview because it sets me off a little bit when people really have zero deals. They've done nothing. And they're critically asking me, so how many listings do you typically have a month? And how's, you know, what's your highest price sale? Are you interviewing me?
I think those questions must be Googled. They must be
Googled. They must be Googled.
Yeah.
So here's a tip for people that I feel like that interview, do your research and research the person you are going to meet with. Know what you're walking into.
Yeah.
So that way, that question won't happen to you. How much
that's
do you sell? I'm
thing.
Like, come on. You're meeting with me. Like, you should already know
who I am.
Who we're talking with.
Yes. And I have had that where I say, like, have you seen Acme's website? Do you know what it is that we do that's different? And it's like, no, I'm like, why are you here?
But most people, though, right, they do know. They come to us because they do know
what we are. Yeah, I know. Most people do. Most people do.
It's totally up our alley. Get it, the design thing. They get it.
Yeah.
But every now and then, you know, obviously we get.
Yeah. No. I mean, I feel like it's like a popular thing. And these are red flags for me. Like in the interview process, I'm like, okay, this person obviously thinks they already know my job and they undervalue it because they have no license. And yet they're going to try and negotiate their split in terms with me as if I'm not running a company and don't have, you know, 18 years in the business and I'm able to figure out what the best structure is. And then to compare whatever it is that we offer with a bigger brokerage's offer also feels a little wrong to me because it's like, yeah, there's no liability there. Like they are a numbers game. They'll say whatever, they get you in and then they drop you, you know, most of the time. I'm not saying for everybody, but a lot, that's the popular feeling of a lot of people that come to us. They've been there. They tried that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you get the big split, but no support. You're not closing deals.
Right.
You get sent out. Trained, you get support.
I was just going to say, you get sent out into the field with no training, with no know-how on actually how to do the job. So when you find yourself in transactions, are you closing? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I did a transaction with an agent who was at a bigger brokerage. She was a newer agent. And, you know, we opened escrow and she was like, okay, what next? And I'm like,
do you not know?
You send us disclosures, you know, and she didn't know what disclosures. She's like, okay, what disclosures? I'm like, this is,
wow.
Yeah, this is.
Last summer, I had a condo listing and we were in escrow with an agent from a bigger boutique brokerage. And when we started the transaction process, like once it was beyond the contract, He had no idea what forms to use, no idea how it was supposed to go. And I felt like I was training him.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I'm like, really? You're out in the field doing this thing that can cost people a lot of money if they do it wrong. And yet, you know, somehow, some way you've been given the idea that this is easy. It's not that easy. And in fact, the deal fell apart. And his clients were on the hook for the earnest money deposit. It was a mess.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
It was a mess. But also within your own brokerage, once you do find a brokerage that feels right to you, distinguishing yourself is your next job. And how do you do that? What do you think, Dominique? What's the easiest way for someone to rise in their brokerage?
Well, I think when you join a brokerage, you know, I mean, when you get your license and you join and, you know, you're just getting started, like one of the biggest things that you should do is make yourself present. You know, like be in trainings, be on calls, be in the office, meet people so that way they think about you when they need, you know, maybe a producer who's just got too much going on needs some help. You know, you're at the forefront of their mind because mm-hmm. they see that you're actually showing up. Because that's the thing, like the difference between agents who produce and agents who don't is that they show up.
Right.
And they do the job, you know? And I think a lot of people think that it's just going to happen for you.
Yeah, somebody's going to knock on your door and be like, hey,
you know,
heard you were a real estate agent.
Which reminds me of that next question that sometimes people, they come in and ask, how many leads can you give me? Right. Are you giving out leads? What are you giving me?
Yeah.
Like, that's not how this works.
Yeah, and I explain too, the reason why we do the training and the reason why we do the process part, like make sure that people know how to write an offer and understand every step of the transaction process and read the code of ethics and all the things, is to get them to the place where I would feel even remotely comfortable handing them a lead. You don't walk in, if you don't even know how to close a deal, why would I give you a lead that could potentially be, you know, $20,000 or $40,000 in commission when I've got 20 or 30 trained agents who have shown up every day, who are doing the work, who know how to close a deal, who took the coaching, who took the training and ran with it, made it their own. Those are the people that I'm going to give the leads. You have to prove yourself. And I think that's a new concept for a lot of the, you know, the pool of employees and not just in real estate. Not that a realtor is an employee, but I'm saying, like, you know, the pool of people looking for a job. Like the idea that you actually have to learn how to do the job before you start trying to negotiate or expecting leads right off the bat when you don't even know what the fuck you're doing. Mm-hmm. It's just, makes me very uncomfortable. I don't like it. And I do address it, you know, when we're in our interviews. I'll say it. Well, I'm not going to give you, you know, I'm not going to give you leads when I don't even know if you can close a deal.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Plus, I want to see people's ethics, you know. People get eliminated for ethics all the time.
Yeah. That's a big one.
It is a big one.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And that's what I think bigger brokerages, I don't think that that's a thing at all.
It doesn't seem to be. Because I always call, if there's an ethical concern, I'll call a broker at the other firm, the desk guy. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, listen, this just went down. This is unacceptable. Your agent just attempted to poach my buyer clients that we're actively involved in a transaction on, and they make up, I'm sure that it just came off that way. Excuses, no actual penalty. And we have not a lot of accountability. It's like the police policing the police. You're supposed to do an ethics complaint to your board, and then you don't want to create a nasty kind of relationship with somebody where in the future it's a problem. So accountability's got to start with us personally and with our brokerage personally. I cannot control what other people do, but I always am surprised by the lack of giving a darn of the managing brokers at some of the other firms that I have to call. I'm like shocked. It's crazy.
Yep.
But another thing is showing up for training. That's so huge. Making sure that you do the homework. Making sure that you actually raise your hand if you don't understand a concept. That shows me that you're intelligent. You're processing. Taking notes on all the valuable things that people are telling you, or tips and tricks, showing up to the team presentations, you know, whenever a title guy wants to do a you know, 1 hour meeting or something, like making yourself available for the job of learning the job of real estate. Critical. No excuses. Like, I didn't have time. No. It's like the NFL of real estate in Los Angeles. And if you are not prepared to be excellent at what you do, then probably a bigger brokerage may be for you. But on a team like ours, it's like every single person carries the weight of our reputation. And I feel very strongly about that. And I see that in the training. So I'm like, while people are coming into the interview asking, like, what can you do for me? I'm sitting here in the training going, you are showing me zero of what it is that you're bringing to this firm. And so that doesn't always work out. And sometimes people have to go. Also, like when I see new agents reimagining their social media to convert from one career to another, I'm always very impressed by that. And we have had agents who have really succeeded at that. So I love seeing innovation. I think that's a way to rise in,
seniority.
Yeah, more seniority or something. You feel like, okay, those people have got that thing down. You know, it's like you're a specialist in that particular thing, which I think is a easy thing to do. But when I look at a rookie's Instagram and it's still showing pictures of their cat and says nothing about them being a real estate agent, I'm like, why? What are you doing? Like, this is your marketing to your sphere. So I think you have to make yourself a great partner for the team. I know I'm the only one talking right now. You guys feel free to jump in, but taking the coaching is huge. Up next, we have a special guest, an Acme agent, Susan Glynn, who has had the experience of interviewing at 10 different brokerages. I want to know all about that. Welcome, Susan Glynn.
Wow. Hello.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here on Under All is the Land.
Well, it is an exciting place to be. Yes. So let's start at the very beginning. How long have you been licensed?
I got my license last October, so under a year.
Right. Okay. Now. Yeah. Got it. And you interviewed 10 companies?
I interviewed at 10 places. I was, you know, because you get your license, right? And you study all this stuff that isn't really like what you do on a day-to-day. So I was like, I really want to find a place that's going to give me the education I need to be a successful agent. So I was like, I'm just going to interview as many places as I feel like I need to until I really find what works for me. So I interviewed at a lot of, you know, the big names. And there was a lot of different things going on. I mean, you know, when you go on a regular interview, people are like, you should interview your interviewer as well to find out if it's like a good fit for you. And there was just so many that, like, right off the bat, I was like, this is not going to work.
Like what? What particular things made you kind of...
For me personally, it was a lot of people, like, really trying to sell me so hard on their particular brokerage in a way that made me feel like, you know, I was just another number to them, that they were just trying to get as many agents through the door as possible. They're like, look at this shiny, look at our shiny package, and this is what we're offering you, in a way that was so salesy that I was like, I don't think you even care about like me or like what I bring to the table. You just want like the more agents you can get in the door, the more likely your success is, right? The more likely you're gonna like make sales. One of the worst was a guy who was really like, his sales pitch was like being mean to me, which like, this is really crazy. Like, why would
this really is
you?
Like dating?
Yeah,
you read that on the first date.
Yeah, you know, isn't there like some book that like if men are mean to women that like attracts them or something? I forget the name of that. Anyway,
he was like an older guy, and I have a job outside of real estate because I'm new and I'm trying to make this work full time eventually, hopefully soon. But he was just like, oh well, you're gonna have to quit your job right away. Like, you have to quit your job. You can't work there. And I was like, okay, like, wow. Okay, you're really like, I mean, that's great that you think I could just quit my job and, like, be fine. But, like, I need to know, like, how this, you know, everything works. Like, I don't have any experience yet. So, like, how are you telling me, like, if I work for you, I have to quit my job?
Did anybody offer you a job, like, as an assistant or anything paid?
No.
No.
Okay. It was all, like, agency stuff. There, you know, there was, like, one sales pitch I got that was just, like, it was on Zoom, and I had to schedule like a 45-minute meeting with them, and they had a whole presentation. There was slides, there was like, you know, numbers and all this stuff. They're just going over and over. I had like interviewed at one place where the price of working there was so astronomical that I was like, why on earth would a new agent want to work here? Like, if you're not producing yet, if you don't really have clients, you don't really know what you're doing yet, you're still trying to get like educated on how this works, but your desk fee is, you know, $500 a month. Like, I'm just like, how am I, like, how do I make that work? So yeah, I mean, it was just like a gamut, just everything. And then there were some people that just, there's one office that still calls me like once a week to see if I'll go work for them. And I'm like, man, this is so persistent. Like,
Did you interview other boutiques as well? Or was it just...
I mainly interviewed bigger ones. You know, some of like the bigger ones that have like smaller offshoots. That was like mostly what I went, you know, I did my training through one of the big companies. And then I was like, oh, maybe I want to work for them. So I interviewed at a bunch of their different offices.
So question, did in the interviews were promises made? And also, did you ask that horrible question of, are you going to give me leads?
I did not ask if they could give me leads.
Okay.
That didn't even cross my mind, honestly. I was
like, oh, maybe I need to learn. That, yeah, exactly. That's why you're here.
That's why I'm here with no leads. No.
You got to learn how to do the job first, baby.
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't ask that. I was really like, because I was new, my priority was definitely, I want to know what the day-to-day life of a real estate agent is like. I want to know, you know, like in my initial classes that I took, we looked at the RPA one time for 2 seconds. It was like, this is the residential purchase agreement. And now we're moving on.
Check.
Yeah. So like, I don't even know what's in the contract, but like, you want me to pay you $500 a month to rent a desk from you? And you have like, I don't know anything. So my main questions were like, what's the education like? Like, what is it like? You know, a lot of times it was, oh, we meet once a week on Mondays for Zoom and we have like an educational thing happening. But like with you guys, you know, it was like, we're going through every single step of what it takes to actually do this job. Mm-hmm. And that was like really what was the big selling point for me and what I was looking for at these other agencies. I just never got it from anyone else.
Do you feel like we've delivered on our promise to you?
100%.
Well, good. That makes me happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely. I mean, I felt like, you know, to be honest, Acme was the first place I reached out to because I had been following you. I was a huge fan of your work. I was a huge fan of your marketing, your social media. I'd read your book. So I was already like, in my mind, I was like, I would love to work for Acme, but there's just no way they would hire a newbie like me. And I went online, I went on your website, and I submitted a form, like an app, you know, your little form submission thing. And I just wrote like a very honest, like, I'm a huge fan and I really would love to work for you. It would be so amazing. But like in my mind, I'm like, this is a long shot. It's never going to happen. And then Silke emailed me back and was like, we're not hiring right now. You know, when we do like a whole process of education every time we bring on new people.
Yep.
So if we are in the future, I'll let you know. Then I went on my 10 interviews.
Okay. Gotcha.
And then I got an email from Silke. We're hiring.
We reopened it.
Yes. Yeah. And I was like, the timing could not be better because I'm literally sitting at home like, none of these agencies feel like the right fit. And I was very close to going with one that was just by default, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know, they're not going to charge me an exorbitant desk fee. They're offering like, you know, some education so I can maybe learn from them. They're offering like a mentor, which, you know, kind of is like standard. I feel like you get that a lot of places. And then I got the email from Silke and I was like, well, this is like a dream come true. And then I came in and met with you guys and I was like, obviously you guys are badass as hell. Can I say ass on this?
Yes. Do you feel like there's a difference in the approach of the interviews when there are females doing the interviews versus men?
Absolutely.
Like what?
I was interviewed by almost exclusively men before I came to Acme.
Interesting.
And I think, you know, like I said, one guy was mean to me. One guy was like, his whole sales pitch was being like, well, you can come and work here or whatever. Like very like
aloof.
Nonchalant. Yes. But then
it's
afterwards,
like dating.
That's the same one that emails me and texts me every single week.
Right. Of course. Like, the aloof one is acting all hungry now. You said no.
Yes.
It is like dating.
And that was my tactic when I was dating too.
Yeah.
True
and that's
that.
Why you're still single.
Yeah, so I mean, I felt like a difference like right away when I came in because first of all, it was you guys, and I was like, these women are so badass and cool. And then, like, just you also literally put a contract in front of me and said, fill out this contract to the best of your ability. And I was like, holy shit, I've never even opened this contract before.
It's crazy how many real estate agents haven't read the contract word for word.
It's crazy.
It's crazy because you realize clients don't know. I mean, we were just talking the other day about how an agent advised a client to like not submit proof of funds with an offer. And they were like, this seems like they made it seem normal. And I'm like, oh my God. Like on the listing side, which we are frequently, we don't even consider it a legitimate offer without proof of funds. So what?
Yeah.
And then when it was requested, it wasn't provided. It was even like, we're giving you a chance. And it didn't even, you know, mm-hmm. So there are people out there who are probably working against the interests of their clients by just like not reading the contract, not understanding the market, not understanding the competition, and not responding whenever the listing agent's actually giving you clues about what you need to do to get the damn thing done.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
So I do think that's like another nuance of the training that you realize when you walk in here. You're like, oh, this isn't going to be easy. And I'm not just a number here. Like you have to prove yourself a little bit.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the first day was like, we're going to go through the entire code of ethics. And like, I don't think I would have ever read the code of ethics if I had gone with a different company. Was never required. No one ever talked about it. And that was like day one was like, we're going to like talk about what it takes to be an ethical agent,
mm-hmm.
especially in a city where there are so many agents and so many of them are not ethical.
True that.
It's so true. I mean, they have a code of ethics course that everybody's supposed to well, take, but the reality is you click, you know, a lot
you
of click people
through.
Click through it. Yeah. Click yeah. through it. Don't read it. Answer the questions,
yep.
you know, and manage to get enough for a passing score.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what advice would you give? I mean, if you had to do it all over again, what advice would you give to someone who's interviewing at different brokerages to help them find the right fit?
I mean, I think that definitely, you know, explore all of your options, boutique and big companies, so you know what actually suits you. And then really do your research and like look at their social media. Like that was the first thing that drew me into Acme was I was like, this social media is different than everything else I'm seeing. This is like, you know, really curated and really beautiful. And there's so many other places that are just doing a very generic run of the mill, similar thing every time. So like really knowing the company before you go in. And then, yeah, like, I mean, I don't want to say you like, what can you offer me? Because obviously like, to me,
I told you not to yeah. say that, and you don't want to seem like you weren't listening. I know.
Well, that's true, but I didn't.
Because you heard the first yeah, Savvy, you're like, no, I'm not going to say that.
You know, but like definitely, like, you know, going in with in mind, like, what is it that you're trying to get? And if you're a new agent, like, I think for me personally, it was education, you know, and that just made the decision so much more clear, especially when I went to places that the education program that they had that would just seem so not suitable. Like it was just like, okay, so I'm just going to jump on a call once a week and maybe learn what I need to
right.
know.
And here's the thing. We don't just do education. That's
yeah.
not the point. That's
right.
the starting point.
Totally.
It's just like when you're working with clients, hunting for properties is not the value of the agent. That's the precursor to the job really starting, which
yeah.
is like writing the offer, negotiating the contract, meeting the inspector, staying on top of escrow and title, da, da, da. The actual process part is the part where you earn your real stripes. But like just hunting is what, you know, and I feel like there's a, like there needs to be a barrier of entry. We've talked about this before. I personally feel like I didn't know what the hell I was doing for the first 2 years I had my license. And had I not been an assistant to an agent who was actually producing, it would have been very difficult for me to learn that. So that's what I try to give people in the course, is like how to get you from zero to producing in like 6 months, you know? But the intention is to keep you here so that you can flourish. And so we're always being very careful about who we invite because we need to make the community stronger together. It's not just going to be a bunch of rookies who then, you know, I've already trained a few agents at a few offices of our competition. I'm over it.
Yeah.
To be honest, I'm over it.
Well, definitely. And there was like, at the end of my interview here, the one thing that you said to me was like, when you leave, send me an email and let me know that you want to work here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like that. Yeah. I mean, it just seemed like so obvious, but also like, I was like, I went home and I typed out a nice email and I was like, I do really want to work here. I would be honored to work here. And that's the feeling that I was looking for in those interviews that I didn't find until I was here.
Well, we are just so honored to have you here. I can't wait to see you grow. Thank you, Susan, for sharing your interview story with us.
Thank you for having me. Generally.
Where can we find you on social media?
Well, I have, I'm currently Susan Glynn Real Estate on Instagram. Perfect. I'm also Shrimpy Sue on my regular Instagram, trying to merge the two. You know, that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah, but food and real estate do go together.
Yeah.
You could have a whole outdoor terrace thing.
Yeah.
You know, a new, you could be the I Swoon of outdoor eating.
Oh.
Just saying.
The I Swoon.
Yes. You could like literally take like your salad bowl out to like the outdoor patio and like slowly stir the salad on this like new
sous al fresco.
Yes.
I was thinking of making my turning it into Shrimpy Cells. So Shrimpy Sue and Shrimpy Cells. Okay. I don't know. Gotta get new business cards.
I don't know.
It's Susan Glynn Real Estate right now.
Okay, Susan Glynn Real Estate. Thank you so much.
Thank
Susan.
You guys.
All right. To wrap up, you know, I really want to talk about something nobody talks about. We always talk about how to get in to real estate, but we never talk about how to get out of your relationship with your broker, like how to break up with your brokerage. And I think it's important for us to talk about that because it does happen. People shift, you know, not every place is right for everybody forever. You know, I've moved brokerages too before I created Acme. But I think as somebody who's experienced it a couple of times, there are some definite no-nos. Mm-hmm. One no-no is breaking up via email, like with no notice, especially if you have a job where you're like being hired by the broker to perform something outside of just being a regular agent. That same kind of two-week courtesy, I think, is really good. We talked about this before. You got to put your big girl pants on sometimes. You cannot avoid confrontation in this job. You have to be able to get comfortable with uncomfortable situations and uncomfortable conversations.
This whole job is uncomfortable conversations.
Pretty much.
You know?
It is.
It is confrontation. It's having discussions that might be new discussions or feel uncomfortable. So, like, yeah, I totally agree with that. When you're exiting a brokerage, you should be able to have that conversation, that tough conversation with your broker, and do it with grace.
With grace.
You know?
And give your broker the chance to maybe fix the things that make you want to leave in the first place.
That's another thing.
Like, be like, hey, this is why I'm not feeling it anymore. What can we do? And give your broker that invested love and time and energy in you, into you, sort of like the option to maybe turn this around.
Yeah.
And if you really must leave, have a personal conversation.
Yeah, I think so
face
too.
To face.
No, it's a really good point. So, you know, when people are getting uncomfortable or they're getting solicited, which I think a lot of times is that you're getting solicited. So as soon as an agent starts to be productive, then they get solicited by a million different brokerages. And, you know, they take the meeting. And then if there's money being thrown at them or an opportunity that's too good to refuse, they may be tempted to go. But having the courtesy of giving your existing broker the opportunity to beat or meet the other offer is, maybe they won't do it. But, you know, it is a nice courtesy. I know one time I really invested time and training in an agent and we had a great relationship and I was prepared to give her even more responsibilities. And then I found out that she was solicited by somebody who I considered an equal, you know, and I was absolutely blown away by the fact that this particular team lead didn't give me a call to say, hey, I just want to let you know there's an opening on my team and I think she'd be perfect and I respect you and I respect, you know, the training that you've given her and everything, and I hope that we can work together in the future and I just want to let you know that I'm going to offer her a job. That is respect. And you know, I'm capable of handling it and I think a lot of brokers are. And I feel like it's just one of those things that people don't do enough of. So don't break up via email. If you have a job responsibility, don't do it with no notice. Mm-hmm. Don't tell other people at the firm that you're leaving. Or in fact, after you leave, trying to recruit other people from that team, and then they come and tell me, oh yeah, they're trying to get me. It's so disrespectful. Mm-hmm. And it makes for so much awkwardness. I'm not gonna front either. Not that I have to be friends with everybody, but when I see people at open houses who I'm like, you, I know that you intentionally like solicited four people from my firm. Mm-hmm. It's rude. It's like, let your broker do that. You know what? Because you get a $500 bonus for every person you bring or something. It's, and then they come and they tell me, you know? So FYI, like, go harvest somewhere else. But to me, I feel like I give so much love and time and attention to everybody on the firm. It's a real slap in the face to have people just walk away without even having the respect and grace of a personal conversation. And then maybe a thank you is nice. I was invested into, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's sort of, in me. That is sort of the thing that happens in bigger brokerages very easy because people are not invested. And you do email and say, you know, I'd like to offboard. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, we'll send you the paperwork.
Right.
See you later.
That's true. They don't care.
Yeah, right. So that's sort of the mentality. But it's not the mentality in a smaller firm where we care genuinely
and
for each
other.
And we
invest genuinely.
And we actually like to hang out together. We like each other. We create a very special environment for our agents.
100%.
And I feel like that it deserves the
respect.
The respect of a call and a meeting.
Yep, I agree. And the other thing I was going to say is people who are not performing tend to think that it's because of the brokerage. And I'm not saying this specific to Acme because the people who want to perform here just, I feel like they rocket to, you know, production like really quickly. But at other brokerages, I have seen it where people jump from one to the next to the next to the next thinking they're going to get something different at everyone. But in fact, at the end of the day, your success squarely lies in your own ability to like treat your business as if you are the CEO of your own business. So do you show up every day? Do you market? Do you have a budget for marketing? Are you constantly networking? Are you constantly working your sphere of influence? Are you showing people what you do? Are you putting the effort in to actually, you know, do the thing? So Acme as a platform can give you the best marketing tools and the best graphic design, the best social media, the best but you have to actually put in work. Mm-hmm. You know, so some of these promises, like I've heard that there are some brokerages who are like, we'll just do everything, you go out and sell. I'm like, then you're not learning how to fish. You know, so yeah, we do expect people to like fish, but just hopping from brokerage to brokerage isn't a great idea either, because that's not where the accountability at the end of the day actually is.
That's so true. And I think that sometimes people who aren't so open to constructive criticism to help get them to a better place and be better agents also find themselves jumping into the big pools, mm-hmm. you know, so that the BS or the stuff that they're doing that maybe they shouldn't be doing mm-hmm. can go, you know, unreprimanded.
Right.
You know?
Right. I mean, I also think to this point, it's one of my notes on my card is, and I think human beings do this in relationships generally when they feel like they maybe want to make a change. They create a crisis. So you manufacture a crisis in order to give you an excuse to leave. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that has a lack of merit in it as well. Mm-hmm. There is accountability. So whether you think you're skating under or not, people talk. And people know, like, beyond your firm even, what your reputation is sometimes.
Totally.
You have to be so protective of that. And so, like, you know, I do think that the idea that you can get away with it is false in a reputation way, even if you're not getting smacked down by an ethics violation or by your broker.
Right.
People talk.
Yeah,
and
for
they
sure.
know.
For sure.
But you don't need to create a crisis in order to leave. It doesn't even have to be a crisis situation. Nothing has to blow up in order for it to no longer be the right fit. I would love to say, like, I contributed to you and I'm proud of your success. And that's usually actually how I feel when I see, you know, when I see people succeeding. I don't have any bad feeling, but I do always remember the way that they left.
Yeah.
If they leave.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think another thing is, you know, is that whenever you're breaking up with your brokerage, you should also like keep in mind that if you're shit talking anyone from the brokerage, whether it's a brokerage or other agents that you worked with, mm-hmm. that also circulates.
It does.
You know, so, you know, you should leave with grace, but you should also continue acting with grace and consideration that you will encounter these other agents in the field.
Yeah.
You know, just throughout the job, just doing, you know, just going to open houses, showing, writing offers, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you still do want to leave on a good foot, just like you said,
right.
You know, whether it's with a broker or the other agents that you're with,
yep.
because you will encounter them and you will work with them.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, if you're doing the job.
Yeah, if you're doing the job, you see them out there in the field.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
So, respect the people who contribute to you and end these brokerage relationships with grace. And I always say, you know, it's okay to also admit if you made the wrong move. You know, like you can be like, I thought that was going to be better than it was. Fact, no, sometimes those relationships are stronger. It's like that Japanese bowl. Have you ever seen
with
that?
With the gold.
With the cracks in it. And it's like
gold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes things that are broken and put back together are stronger than they were in the first place anyway. So with that, we appreciate you tuning into Under All is the Land. And we would love it if you would like, comment, and subscribe. We will see you next time.
See you soon. Courtney, your friends about to show you how to generate wealth. Get educated, do for yourself. Add a couple notches to your belt. Under all is the land. Under all is the land.